AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy NFL Draft Day. Craig is James Maddock here to preview it here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. It is April 29th, 2021, the date of the NFL Draft. We are not in lockdown. We have a exciting draft to cover here tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. All hands on deck here on SportsGrid, ready to get to it. Davis, the moment of truth for all teams in the NFL. We know what the future can be and what sometimes it is not. All on the line tonight. That's the drama that stands ahead of us. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've got reports flooding in this morning, some of them true, some of them almost assuredly made up. We've now heard that the 49ers are offering Jimmy Garoppolo the number 3 overall pick and a bunch of assets for Aaron Rodgers. We're hearing that the New Orleans Saints want to use their available draft capital to trade up to number 10 with the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Saints rumor is probably more likely to be true than the 49ers rumor, but the rumor mill is off and running this morning, no doubt about it.
All right, maybe we'll make one up before the end of the show, no doubt. All right, let's get started. Our headlines here for the show. Draft is tonight, and I would invite everyone at 7 o'clock Eastern to tune back in here, wherever you're watching the show on video, because they are going to put together a great production for this draft tonight. If it's anything like last year's draft, it will be phenomenal. So make sure you tune in. Phoenix Suns back in the playoffs. Laughing stocks of the NBA a couple of years ago. 11-year drought officially over. They are a serious contender to win the championship this year, no doubt. As Chris mentioned in the update, scary moment in baseball yesterday as Bryce Harper hit in the face with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball and then returned to the game. Now, he is not playing today for the Philadelphia Phillies, but scary moment there yesterday, and hopefully Harper is okay and back in the lineup on Friday. A fun moment in baseball yesterday, Anthony Rizzo strikes out Freddie Freeman as position player pitching yesterday. A little bit later in the show, we'll hear from Freddie Freeman on his whiff, and it seemed to enjoy it quite a bit. Jacob deGrom also tied Nolan Ryan for most strikeouts over a 5-start period, and we are seeing quite a bit of that, Davis, in fantasy. To me, that's the biggest difference now as opposed to a couple of years ago when the ball was flying out and everyone was hitting those home runs. If your pitcher, Davis, in DFS pitches 8 innings and gives up 2 runs and strikes out 5, that's not good enough to win in DFS anymore. I mean, a strikeout per inning is basically mandatory to win any of these contests. It's wild how strikeouts are so prevalent now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some early analysis. Now, keep in mind, we're about a month into the season, and I think some of these things will regulate just a little bit. But sure, we are seeing all-time highs in strikeout rate, all-time lows in batting average, all-time lows in balls even being put into play, right? Because in addition to guys striking out, guys are also taking a lot more walks than ever. So really, you turn on a baseball game, you know, you watch, you know, I'm turning on to watch the Royals, you're turning on to watch the Marlins. You're just really not going to see balls enter the field of play at a degree that you would have 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And you know, you can argue, is that good for the game? Is that bad for the game? But it is certainly true. Strikeouts are up, hits are down, yep. Walks are up. So there's just a lot of the pitcher and catcher playing catch and the batter sometimes interacting and sometimes not. It really is pretty wild what has happened in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, my fantasy teams that I drafted are all doing very well. This is the best start I've gotten off to in years for sure. A lot of my focus was to get a lot of pitching and strikeout pitching, maybe not elite, but the type that could be a 2, 3, and 4. And I've been saved by that for sure. Offense has been good too. And luckily for me, knock on wood, outside of Springer, I haven't had any serious injuries. So maybe I'll be a contender in my fantasy league this year. Let's talk real quick about the Suns, Davis. I know that I mentioned that they're a serious contender to win the championship. I don't know if you were thinking that in the back of your mind or saying, wow, Craig is crazy. But at the very least, I give them credit. They were just so bad a couple of years ago. I think they lost 20 games in a row. But here they are back in the playoffs. Nice organizational moves, I guess, for them.
I mean, absolutely. I don't know how anyone could look at what the Suns have done and view them not as a serious contender. They are fourth in the NBA in net rating. They are, you know, one of the best teams in terms of true shooting because they have Devin Booker and Chris Paul, who are great three-point shooters, DeAndre Ayton, who is so good around the rim. And they're also, you would not really expect this from a team, you know, with a backcourt of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, but they're also a pretty solid defensive team. They are fifth in the NBA in defensive rating, so they shoot the ball well, they play good defense. They don't turn the ball over. They play at a good pace. I mean, I think they are well suited to playing in the playoffs because they don't rely on a deep rotation, which some teams, you know, the Bucks, for example, in years past played 10 guys in the regular season. That doesn't help you in the playoffs when you shorten down to 8 guys and you play your starters 40 minutes a night. The Suns are already there. So I'm with you. They are legitimate contenders in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I know over the next week, a lot of other teams are going to clinch playoff spots. We'll, of course, have that for you. But it is NFL draft night, and we've been waiting for this for quite a while, breaking it all down, giving you all the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you go to sportsgrid.com, you can see Davis's mock draft for the entire first round of tonight's draft. But what we're going to do here on the show is, just for time constraints, we're going to go through the top Davis's top 20 mock draft. I think that that's plenty for the show. And especially for what we do here. So coming up next, we will go through this. We'll also hear from Chris Greer, the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, on what they may or may not do. And we'll tell you where the fantasy ramifications revolve on that. So hopefully this will help you, give you a little bit of a preview of tonight's show at 7 o'clock Eastern. Davis's top 20 mock draft is next. Stay with us.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. It is the moment of truth. The 2021 NFL Draft is here. Davis has put in all the time, the effort, the analysis, and he brings us his top 20 2021 mock draft. So we're going to go through this, Davis, pick by pick. And what we're going to do here, drum roll, we don't have one, but if we did, your top five picks as it stands right now. No more. Are you still allowed to change? I will allow it if you'd like that. Are you willing to change before tonight? Is that something you can do, or you're done?
I'm not going to change anymore. If we are going through these and I think a pick is going to change based off of things that have happened in the last 24 hours, I'll let you know. These first four, these first five picks, nothing's changing. These are about as locked in stone as you're going to get, I think.
All right, so here we go, Davis. Fire away. Give me your top five. Give it to me.
All right, so top five. We start off here with Trevor Lawrence going number one overall to the Jaguars. Then number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. No secret there. Mac Jones has slipped to about minus 180 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to go to the 49ers with pick number three, you know, just based off of some rumors and whatever. But Mac Jones is going number three to the 49ers. Kyle Pitts is locked in to the Atlanta Falcons at number four. Jamar Chase, I actually think this is a line you can still bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The last I saw, it was Jamar Chase at minus 180 to the Bengals at five. I think you could bet that up to like minus 400. I think you can pretty much consider Jamar Chase, you know, just a Bengals player.
All right, so Jamar Chase goes in the top five. Pitts goes to Atlanta. That's, I mean, to me, from a fantasy perspective, the player to start with, I think, in 2021 for sure. I mean, quarterbacks, no doubt, are super important in a super flex, different story. But Pitts has a chance to be a real star in that offense, no doubt. All right, well, the sixth pick in the 2021 NFL draft goes to the Miami Dolphins. Of course, they traded back from three to six, still feeling like they could get their guy. The question is their guy Devontae Smith? Is it Jalen Waddle? Chris Greer, the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, was asked about the size, potentially, of Devontae Smith, who's a little bit on the smaller side. And you know what? Jalen Waddle, kind of on the smallish side, too, was asked if that affects his thinking at all going into the draft.
No, I think it's all part of the evaluation, but every player tells their own story. He's a different player, you know. So I think, you know, the league has changed as well. You know, there's more rules. It's more of an offensive league. I think what's been evident is that there are a lot of smaller players that have become really good players in this league as well. So you always value it. You always talk about it. But again, each player is their own case. And, those guys have shown that they've been good players, you know, at a high level of play in the SEC. And but that goes for a lot of players around the country. I just think the game has changed a little bit. And I think these smaller players are given more room and freedom to showcase their talents.
All right, Davis. Well, that being said, you've heard from Chris Greer. Let's go ahead, give me your pick for the Dolphins at six and round us out in the top 10.
Yeah, so I have the Dolphins taking the smaller player that he was just talking about, Devonta Smith, the Alabama wide receiver at number six. The first controversial selection of my mock draft, I have the Detroit Lions taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State at pick number seven. Then the Panthers, because of the, you know, the gold rush for quarterbacks here, they get what is probably the best value selection of the draft. You know, I think that had this been a more normal year with one quarterback going first overall, I would imagine that Sewell would go two or three in most drafts. He is the best offensive line prospect of the year, probably the best offensive line prospect of the last couple years. The Panthers going to get a big steal there. Then I have the New England Patriots trading the number 15 pick in several future considerations down to number nine with the Denver Broncos selecting Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback. And then another pick that I think you can still get good value on in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Patrick Surtain, the second cornerback from Alabama. He's listed at about minus 150 to be the first cornerback drafted and a little bit shallower than that to be the first player selected by the Dallas Cowboys. It's between Surtain and J.C. Horn, a cornerback from Southern Carolina. Surtain is going to be the guy from all indications that we have right now.
All right, so if the Patriots trade, let's play it out a little. If the Patriots trade for Fields, what we've seen in the past is a lot of quarterback year one sitting, and then coming in year two. But Davis, that has changed significantly. We saw Burrow play all last year. We saw Herbert play essentially all last year. And on top of it, we saw Tua play for half the season. So in your mind, if Fields goes to New England, is he sitting behind Cam Newton, or something freaky happened and Newton's not on the team to start the year?
Well, I don't think that Fields would start week one. I think that probably they would either wait for Cam to get banged up. And by the way, Cam has basically missed time with injury every year of his career for the last 5 years. It just kind of, I mean, he's 250-pound guy. He takes hits. That's just kind of what happens. Obviously, he missed time with the coronavirus last year, which I think is partly an explanation for why Cam Newton played so poorly last year. Because remember, what, he had 392 passing yards and three touchdowns against the Seahawks in that that primetime game. Like, I don't know if Cam is done, but I do think that the Patriots are ready to move on at the quarterback position. So I would guess probably Fields starts after their first loss or after Cam's injury, you know, assuming Cam gets injured at some point, which has happened to him, you know, a lot of the times.
Okay, let's move on to picks 11 through 15. I'll run down these, and then you could tell me why you picked them. Rashawn Slater goes to the Giants. You have him as the offensive tackle at pick 11. The Eagles go wide receiver and Jaylen Waddle, who's a phenomenal talent at Alabama. Chargers take offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw. Vikings take offensive tackle Elijah Vera Tucker. And you have the Broncos making a trade and then taking Micah Parsons, linebacker. So break those down.
So again, another not consensus selection here. The market pretty much assumes that the Giants are going to take whoever the Dolphins do not take between Devonta Smith and Jaylen Waddle. I look at what Dave Gettleman has done as a GM, you know, with the Panthers, with the Giants, his entire career. It's always been offensive linemen, defensive linemen, 370-pound dudes. That's the Dave Gettleman brand. I feel pretty confident that the market has mispriced the odds that the Giants are going to be taking wide receiver, and I do think they will take Slater if he is on the board there for them at 11. Then the other picks here, I definitely think the Eagles need a wide receiver. They would be heading into week one with a group of Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, and Travis Fulgham. They need a wide receiver big time. And then offensive line, a need for the other teams here as well.
All right, so closing out your top 20, you have the Cardinals at 16 taking J.C. Horn, the Raiders taking Christian Barmore, Dolphins take Jalen Phillips, edge rusher, Washington with Alex Leatherwood, and then the Bears try and get some help for their quarterback and taking Rashad Bateman at wide receiver.
Yeah, so Bateman I view as a big need here. The Bears, outside of Allen Robinson, really thin at wide receiver. They take Cole Kmet last year. They have Anthony Miller, but then there was rumors earlier this offseason that they want to trade Anthony Miller. You know, right. I guess they have Darnell Mooney, who can play on the opposite side, but you know, he's a really small player. I think Bateman is just going to be a better NFL player than Darnell Mooney. And it also is a little bit contentious to have Bateman as the wide receiver 4 in this class. But to me, he is, you know, just honestly just a step below Waddle and Smith. I think he looks like a really strong NFL prospect. And I think this is a spot that makes sense.
All right. So there you have it. We'll have some betting odds coming up a little bit later in the show. To see all of Davis's picks, go to sportsgrid.com, check out Daily Roto. And that will give you the opportunity to see who he thinks will go in tonight's draft, subject to change, subject to trades, of course. And that's a big part of every draft, why it takes these teams so long to figure out what they want to do and do it on draft night. Not really sure, but that's the way it plays out sometimes. Coming up next, tons of day baseball to get to here. We're going to go against the spread with some, but also coming up next, I know you're waiting to get our FanDuel.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, That business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Lineups for today, we'll give you that. It was coming up, so make sure you stay with us here on the grid on sportsgrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock on this NFL draft day. Plenty more to come on that, so stay with us. We'll be back with our DFS baseball selections next on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Slate of games today, afternoon and evenings late over on FanDuel. So I want to make sure we get you guys prepped for tonight's games. And not as many as usual. I know a lot of you will be focused on the NFL draft tonight, no doubt. But still opportunities to play a little DFS baseball. We have lineups, actually, for the early games as well, so we can go through those. But let's start, Davis, with the pitching today. Not quite what we normally see. Couple aces on the mound. But beyond that, a lot of opportunity, I guess, is the best word for it. Trevor Bauer is the highest-priced pitcher tonight, 11,000 for the Dodgers. Aaron Nola is at 9,600. Kyle Gibson, 9,200. Actually been okay this season for Texas. Freddie Peralta, 8,800. Matthew Boyd, 8,500. Chris Bassett, 8,100. Boy, a completely different-looking list of pitchers to choose from as opposed to what we've seen.
Yeah, not a ton of games today. We only have 9 total games, 4 in the morning, 5 at night. And it's just shocking to me. So Carlos Rodon is also pitching today, only a 7-inning game because it's going to be a doubleheader between Detroit and the Chicago White Sox. Bauer, just the clear class here, going up against this Milwaukee lineup that has loads of swing and miss in it. I would expect Bauer in contests on DraftKings today or on FanDuel today to just be absurdly owned. I would think probably 60 to 70% ownership on Trevor Bauer, because look at these other names. You know, Nola has a difficult lineup against the Cardinals, who do not have a ton of swing and miss in their lineup. Nobody buys this hot start from Kyle Gibson. I mean, seriously, go ask your friends. Go ask your fantasy baseball league mates if they're buying this start from Kyle Gibson. I do think Freddie Peralta looks interesting. The guy I am most interested in as a cheap starting pitcher, though, it's definitely Luke Weaver, who is going to be getting a home start against the Colorado Rockies, which means the Rockies outside of Coors Field. Have to wonder if maybe we get a couple rest days here, you know, whether it be Crone, whether it be Story. They have some guys like, you know, Ryan McMahon, who have really not taken very many rest days off. So I think Luke Weaver is your tournament dart throw candidate for today's slate for sure.
All right, over at first base, some choices to make with Rhys Hoskins leading the way at 4,100, Freddie Freeman at 4,000, Carson Kelly behind the plate for Arizona, 3,800, Max Muncy, 3,700, Jose Abreu of the White Sox, 3,600, and then we have a catcher show up here, Wilson Contreras, 3,400 for the Cubs, along with Paul Goldschmidt of the St. Louis Cardinals. So which way do you go here at first base? I know certainly Muncy's always a tempting option for LA. Any possibility there for him or anyone else?
Yeah, Muncy, we like. I think Paul Goldschmidt at 3,400. I know he's going up against Nola, but he just is always a guy that our stuff rates out as pretty interesting. I think the Astros are going to be incredibly popular in this early morning slate against Yusei Kikuchi. You know, just that soft tossing lefty against the Astros. That's been a prototype of a pitcher who is, you know, just in general gotten crushed. So I like that there. And then I like Nate Lau for the Texas Rangers. He is one of the guys who has just really done his job for them this season. And I think Rangers lefties today are a little bit interesting just because I really think that Martin Perez probably gets knocked out of this game pretty early, you know, third, fourth inning. And then you get that nice ownership on the left-handed bats against the Boston Red Sox bullpen.
All right. And over, I think at second base is where you may actually have a possibility today. I actually do think that there's some decent ones today for the first time in a while. Jose Altuve starting to hit a little bit, 3,800. Muncy you could play at 3,700 or Taylor from the Dodgers at 3,600. Eduardo Escobar, 3,500. Colton Wong hit a home run yesterday. He's back with the Brewers, 3,500. Ryan McMahon at 3,400. So I don't know. I feel a little bit better than I did today than I did yesterday. But who do you like tonight, Davis?
Yeah, well, I do like Jose Altuve. I mean, he looks, he's just got to be the clear top play of these slates. Hey, how about my guy, Ty France, in the lineup against Luis Garcia, batting third. They have swapped him and Kyle Seager around. My guy, Ty France, has earned that prestigious spot for the Seattle Mariners, which we like to see. A couple cheaper options that we could look at. Jed Lowry, Tommy Edman, DJ LeMahieu. I think the Yankees do look a little bit interesting here against Jorge Lopez. I mean, the Yankees got to start hitting eventually, right? You know, eventually yeah. they're going to put up one of these crazy games for sure.
All right. At shortstop, Corey Seager is the highest priced at 30. Third base, I'm sorry. Justin Turner at 4,000. I'll start off at third before I go to short. Chris Bryant, 3,800. Alex Bregman, 3,600. Eduardo Escobar, 3,500. Nolan Arenado, also 3,500. And Ryan McMahon at 3,400. I'm like 10 seconds ahead here looking at the next possibility. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bregman is the class here. The Astros are going to be incredibly popular. I definitely think that you want to target him. And then I think the lefty Rays, so that would include Joey Wendell at this conversation. I think the lefty Rays, Bassett has been very good in his career against right-handed batters, but because of the way he uses his off-speed stuff, it all comes inside to the left-handed batters. It's like hitting off of a tee for those guys. You know, it's down and in, which is right where the left-handed batters want it. I think Joey Wendell and the left-handed Rays were going to be really interested in. Kyle Seager here against Luis Garcia, I think is good. Maikel Franco batting cleanup against Jordan Montgomery, got the platoon advantage there. He's pretty cheap on FanDuel. I think he looks pretty interesting as well.
Okay, and now we can go to shortstop, and Corey Seager leads the way at 3,900. Tim Anderson also 3,900. Carlos Correa and Trevor Story priced at 3,800. Javier Baez at 36. Xander Bogaerts, boy, his price has gone down, 3,300 for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, and Bogaerts, by the way, I do think we should be a little bit interested in him here against Kyle Gibson. I think in general the Boston Red Sox as a team probably get underowned on the night slate just because they are heavily right-handed teams against right-handed starters. That's just kind of the way it goes. Carlos Correa, though, best play of the day. I mean, Astros right-handed bats, they're just going to be so owned. I'm probably going to talk myself out of not playing all of the best plays because they are going to be on so many people's rosters. If you wanted to look at someone a little bit cheaper, J.P. Crawford batting sixth for the Mariners. He looks okay. Gleyber Torres batting third today. The Yankees are beginning to shuffle up their lineup. They moved Hicks down to six. They moved Brett Gardner down to nine, which I think they always should have done. And I think this shuffling is good for our purposes in DFS.
Okay. Now in the outfield, very clearly the top price player is not playing today. So Bryce Harper, scratch him off your list. Mookie Betts, 4,400. Ronald Acuna Jr. is 4,300. JD Martinez is 3,800. Adam Eaton shows up here, surprisingly, at 3,600, along with Chris Taylor at 3,600. So I suppose Adam Eaton's getting regular playing time, but kind of unlikely to hit a home run, I would think.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like we say, it's hard to keep the prices to always be accurate. And honestly, as people playing in these large field contests on FanDuel, we don't always want the prices to be accurate. We'd like some guys mispriced. We'd like some guys overpriced. And loads of talent here at the outfield today. I think Acuna looks. I think Acuna is probably my favorite play of the day against Adbert Alzolay, because I don't think the Braves are going to garner a ton of interest. I mean, if you look at the guys going in the night slate, there are more attractive spots. The Dodgers against Eric Lauer, definitely the Red Sox against Kyle Gibson. I think the Diamondbacks against Senzatella also look like a pretty interesting spot. So in the outfield here, I mean, just nothing but cheap guys for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, we're looking at David Peralta, Pavin Smith as potential options. I didn't really mention a ton of Diamondbacks as we were going through, but Senzatella, man, he really does not have it. You feel bad. You feel bad for the Rockies going out there every day. It's got to feel bad to be Charlie Blackman and Trevor Story and watch Chigi Gonzalez and Andrew Senzatella give up 5 earned runs every time they take the mound.
You know, I think that is fair, but Davis, it does beg the question, as long as you followed baseball and as long as I have as well, how many viable pitchers have they ever had in Colorado? You know, it's like, I don't know that it matters what the name is. Ramon Marquez, he was okay for a time. Freeland, okay for a time. Ubaldo Jimenez was good for like 1 year. Jeff Francis, they had a rookie many years ago who was pretty good too. But it's like, I feel like any name you throw at me that's a Rocky eventually is just going to go by the wayside. I don't know what they do. I don't know how they solve the problem of pitching there. This has gone on way too long without fixing it, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I do think they probably are at, they just have to be at a disadvantage, right? Because of the way that pitching at Coors Field works. You know, the types of pitches that are going to work at Coors Field are not going to be high strikeout pitches. You want to throw a lot of sinkers because you want to keep the ball down. But you don't want to put too many balls in play because of the giant outfield there. It's very hard to pitch in Coors Field. And if you dedicate yourself, you go, okay, I'm going to learn how to limit runs at Coors Field. Well, that same pitch mix and those same pitches and those same grips probably aren't going to work away from home. And then also pitchers in Colorado tell us, well, my pitches don't move the same way. So I can work on my pitches all I want, and it doesn't work the same way at home that it does on the road. Like, just in general, playing for the Colorado Rockies, it just seems like it would be very difficult. Like, it seems like that constant altitude and elevation change, I think they have a home disadvantage, and maybe it advantages them while they're at home, but it makes it harder for them to play well on the road. I do not envy the Rockies players, that's for sure.
And anytime the Rockies leave and go on the road, the players say they don't feel as good. Players who leave altitude and go somewhere else usually don't fare as well. It's a dynamic that's just never changed through the years. All-Star Game will be there this year. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at FanDuel Sportsbook and the Yankees and Orioles about to start here in about 30 minutes. So we'll have a pick against the spread there. More NFL draft preview continuing here on Sports Grid as well. Fantasy Reality, Sports Grid 60. Don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Davis will be on tonight. I will be on tonight. All of us here on Sports Grid participating in the 2021 NFL Draft. So we'll take a quick timeout. We'll also hear from Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves on Facing Off with Anthony Rizzo. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Well, before we get to today's game, let's do a quick rewind to yesterday's game. Although we can't show you the highlights, a pretty funny moment happened in the game yesterday between the Braves and Cubs, with the Braves just smashing the Cubs. They decided to bring in Anthony Rizzo in the ninth inning to face the Atlanta Braves. One of the batters that Rizzo faced as a pitcher was the National League MVP, Freddie Freeman. And wouldn't you know, Rizzo struck him out, and Freeman was asked about striking out at the hands of Rizzo after the game.
I mean, he was just staring. He was staring at me when he was warming up. It was just so hard. I don't think I've ever gotten a hit off a position player in my career. I hate those at-bats. And as you can tell, a lot of us don't like those at-bats. Those are hard. And, you know, I was able to hit Alex's 64-mile-an-hour curveball. I couldn't hit Rizzo's 61-mile-an-hour curveball. So it was a little bit under my hitting speed. But, you know, that's, you know, he'll have that over me forever now, unfortunately. But that's one strikeout I'm okay with. That was fun. It was fun to be a part of. I wish it was the other way around and I did something cool hitting wise, but we'll always have that. Unfortunately for me, he'll have that over my head forever. But that was one strikeout I'm okay with, because it was fun. And I'm sure I'm getting blown up on social media and all that stuff right now too, but it's all in good fun. And hopefully a lot of people enjoyed that.
It's wild, Davis, to think that hitters don't enjoy facing position players. I would think that's a nice stat compiler. You know that guy's in the game. I'm going to get a hit. I'm going to get a walk. I'm going to hit a home run. At the end of the season, no one's going to look back and say, hey, you got that off a position player. They're just going to look at the back of the baseball card and that's it. But I guess it's interesting that Freeman has a hard time against the position players.
Well, you know, I guess it makes a little bit of sense. You know, you get used to timing up major league starting pitchers. You know, you get used to fastballs from 90 to 95 miles an hour. Changeups are going to be 80 to 88 miles an hour. Curveballs are going to be 70 to 78 miles an hour. And then a guy comes in and he's throwing Ephus pitches. The fastball is 65 miles an hour. You know, the curveball is 50 miles an hour. Like your swing timing would be all messed up. And you know, you sit there and your eyes are about as big as the moon as you're watching that slow rolling curveball come in. You're like, oh my gosh, I have time to think. This one is going to the moon. I'm hitting this one out past the bleachers. And then by the time you swing, you're messed up and you miss the ball. Like I sympathize a little bit with Freddie Freeman. Like that would be an odd situation to be put into for sure.
Yeah, and look, Freeman took it real well. That's what makes him so great. MVP of last year, striking out against Rizzo. Pretty crazy. So always love when the position players are pitching. I don't think we see that enough in the ninth inning. It makes it fun. No fun on the losing end, that's for sure. Okay, let's get to some lines here. We got 15 minutes to go. Yankees and Orioles, Davis. We know the Yankees just crushed the Orioles all last year. It was embarrassing. Today they're minus 180 on the road. That's no surprise. Jordan Montgomery been okay for them against Jorge Lopez. You can get plus 152 on $100, Davis. Any temptation here to take the Orioles at home?
No temptation to take the Baltimore Orioles at home. Can't proclaim to know a ton about Jorge Lopez. My guess would be, you know, he's just a pretty average Major League Baseball arm. He's been in, actually, wow, he was on the Kansas City Royals. He's been in baseball since 2015. He has an ERA of 6.18. He has a fielding independent ERA of 5.25. Not going to get me to take the Baltimore Orioles plus 152 here. I mentioned in the last segment, the Yankees have actually started to restructure their batting order. They have it LeMahieu, Stanton, Gleyber, Gio Urshela, Rougned Odor, Aaron Hicks, Gary Sanchez, Clint Frazier, Brett Gardner today. Now, obviously, if you subbed in Judge today in one of those corner outfield spots, I think that's pretty close to their best lineup. You know, and if you subbed in, you know, you move Hicks to center field, and then you put Judge in there and left. I mean, that's pretty close to one of the best lineups in baseball. So I actually, even at this price, like the Yankees today.
Yeah, it was interesting yesterday to see and hear the comments about, I don't know if you saw this, Davis, but Clint Frazier was on second base and there was a ground ball to the shortstop and he just like didn't even hesitate, ran to third, was out immediately. They just threw the ball over to third. And John Sterling, the radio play-by-play guy for the Yankees, just crushed Clint Frazier. And Aaron Boone looked really mad too. Not surprised he's not in the lineup today, is Clint Frazier. All right, Oakland, Tampa Bay. This is an interesting one because it is the Major League Baseball debut for former first-round pick Shane McClanahan, who pitched for the University of South Florida. I am familiar with McClanahan. I don't know how deep he's going to go into this game, but it's a special day for somebody like this, Davis, when a former first or second-round pick gets drafted, makes his debut. He's going to go against the A's best pitcher, I guess, hypothetically, in Chris Bassitt, but certainly no advantage to facing off against a rookie pitcher. Oakland knows how to stack those righties against the lefty, but boy, it seems like a toss-up here today. I don't know. Do you back a pitcher that you've never seen? Are you willing to do that?
I mean, theoretically, I would. So Shane McClanahan is a, you know, a decent future value. Fangraphs has him as a 50 future value guy. The scouts think that he has a really strong fastball. He also throws a curveball and a changeup, but they do not rate his command very highly. Nothing is going to tank your first start in Major League Baseball like walks. I mean, just absolutely nothing would make this start terribly for McClanahan. Then, you know, if he starts this game and he walks Mark Canha, you know, gets Ramon Laureano out, walks Jed Lowry, then Sean Murphy comes up to bat there. I can see this movie playing out in my head right now where he's just not able to control that fastball because he's so jazzed up and excited to start his first major league game. I would have to side with the Oakland Athletics here. I do think that this Rays lineup can really hit. They have only three righties in the lineup against Bassitt, and Bassitt really does struggle. I mean, if you go look at his career splits against left-handed pitching or against left-handed batters, he really does poorly. So we might actually see some offense in this one, which is not something we're used to saying about games played at Tropicana.
All right, let's move over to Philadelphia and St. Louis. Best player in on either side, Bryce Harper, sitting out today after getting a fastball to the head yesterday. Joe Girardi, by the way, thrown out of the game. Didn't even look intentional, but I guess Joe Girardi was hit in the jaw, broke his jaw many years ago, takes it seriously. And Genesis Cabrera, who hit him in the face, there's a lot of people upset with him for doing it, but whole nother story there, I suppose. Bryce Harper is worth probably 5-10 cents, I think, when you're betting. And as you can see, Philadelphia is only -120 today. He's a major bat. Brett is happy because Odubel Herrera is in the lineup, but so is Roman Quinn, you know? So not a formidable Phillies lineup, to say the least. St. Louis is +102. The better pitcher is Nola, but Kim will put you to sleep, Davis, with these off-speed pitches. And it's like you look up in the fifth inning and he's only given up a run or two and he doesn't walk anybody. So very intriguing matchup today. I guess Philly's a little bit of a favorite, but if you look at their lineup, you would have to wonder if they have enough to put together against Kim.
Yeah, look, I mean, K.H. Kim is a professional starting pitcher. Is he gonna blow the ball by you? Is he gonna strike out 12 in a start? Is he gonna go for a full game? No, of course not. But the Cardinals, incredibly strong bullpen, one of the best bullpens in all of the National League. Alex Reyes, John Gant, you know, they have a bunch of guys there, and Gant swings in between the bullpen and starting. I think he's starting right now, but they do have a very strong bullpen in Philadelphia or in St. Louis now. Yes, Odubel Herrera is playing. Yes, Scott Kingery is playing. Yes, Roman Quinn is playing. Yes, Nick Maton is playing shortstop for the Philadelphia Phillies. Compare that, you know, to the bottom half of the Cardinals order. I mean, they are resting Paul DeJong today. They have Edmundo Sosa playing in there. They have Justin Williams playing in outfield. They have Andrew Knizer in instead of Yadi Molina today. So both teams are kind of fielding their getaway day lineups, I guess you could say. So looking at that, you know, knowing that there's no DeJong in there, I mean, that the top four of the Cardinals order, I mean, Edmund, Carlson, Goldschmidt, Arenado, doesn't really get much better than that in baseball right now. But I'm siding with the Philadelphia Phillies here. Nola at -120 against K.H. Kim. I mean, I think I would bet him to probably -130, -140. So I definitely prefer the Phillies here.
All right, interesting pick there for sure. One other game starting at 2:10 Eastern. Let's just take a quick look at this before we break. It is Seattle and Houston. And if you're not following the Mariners all season long, there's a lot of names that you probably won't recognize. Sam Haggerty leads off for them. Seager, Ty France, we've talked about a ton here, but you may not know who he is. Their cleanup hitter, I can't even pronounce his last name. I haven't been able to all season long. Evan White, Crawford, Moore, Taylor Trammell, Tom Murphy, so Kyle Lewis sitting today. On the side of Houston, Davis, they don't have Alvarez playing today. He's been out for protocol reasons. And so the Astros, who won the World Series a couple of years ago, have names such as Aledmys Diaz in left field, Taylor Jones at DH, Chaz McCormick in right field. So backups, it seems like, across the board playing today. By the way, starting for Seattle, UC Kikuchi has been much better than a lot of people anticipated. And then Luis Garcia for Houston. Any thoughts on that one real quick?
Yeah, well, Mitch Haniger also not playing for the Seattle Mariners. He got banged up two nights ago and had to be removed from the game. I would definitely side with the Astros here. I mean, I don't know a ton about Luis Garcia either, but this is basically the worst matchup you're going to find for Kikuchi. They have eight right-handed batters in against Kikuchi today. I mean, that's just a very tough spot. For a guy who's not going to blow you away with the fastball, he's going to have to nibble on the corner here, right? Like, I mean, Kikuchi is going to have impeccable command to be getting past these guys. And Aledmys Diaz is this really interesting player to me because he was a very hyped prospect back when he originally came up. He came up as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals organization, played for Toronto for a little while, and then has been in Houston for the last three seasons. You know, I don't think he's any great shakes or anything, but I always am just a little intrigued by these post-hype sleeper guys, these guys who were really top prospects who then played minor roles for teams going forward. Like, those guys are just always fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, in between the baseball games tonight for me, I'll be watching, of course, the NFL draft. I guess the question, Davis, for you is that, are you a pick-by-pick NFL watcher? And I know that you'll be locked in, of course, here to Sports Grid, but typically how do you consume the 2021 draft? Are you consuming it on a laptop, on your phone, on TV? What do you normally watch? Which channel? What do you prefer?
Yeah, I'll definitely have the ESPN broadcast up, but I'll also have, you know, my laptop up and my phone out. I'll know all the picks before they happen because, you know, I'll be on there on Twitter and someone is always tipping the picks. That's just how it happens.
Do you like that?
That's okay.
Do you like that or no?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I want to know. I want to know what's going on with those picks. And then also, you got to have the laptop up so you can be firing bets. You know, if there's a trade or happening or something, you got to have the laptop up so that if a big betting opportunity comes up, that you're able to hit it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do a little tipping tonight. I can't say that if I'll be successful or not. The only thing that I'll tell you is that with my track record with the tipping of the picks, is that if I do tip it, it's accurate. If I hear nothing, that means I didn't get it. That's it. I don't take any chances with that. I mean, being wrong on something like that is not something that I'm willing to try. So I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't tonight. I guess you'll just have to watch Sports Grid tonight to see if I end up doing that. All right. Our pick against the spread in the NBA is coming up. We'll also continue our discussion in the 2021 NFL draft. So make sure you stay with us on the grid. Easiest way to watch our show tonight, if you're leaving us for today, sportsgrid.com/watch. Real easy. That's the way you get it done. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Well, if baseball doesn't make you happy and the NFL draft doesn't have your interest, well, maybe the NBA does tonight, although I think that it'll be the third string watch for me. Toronto Raptors at Denver Nuggets is our featured game of the day against the spread. It is Toronto on the road playing against Denver. The line is only 4, so I'll need an explanation here on this one. Over under 223.5. That feels a little low too. So my lean here is wondering what's up with Jokic tonight. If I see a -4, I feel like Denver, a much better team than Toronto, should be a bigger favorite. Or maybe I'm missing something here tonight, Davis. What do you got here against the spread?
Well, you know, the Denver Nuggets are not healthy. Will Barton is out indefinitely. Jamal Murray is out for sure for the rest of the season. I believe Michael Porter Jr. got banged up as well last night. So they, you know, they could be starting some names that we really have not heard in a long time. You know, Paul Millsap and Jamichael Green and stuff. Yeah. They're already starting PJ Dozier and Facundo Campazzo in the backcourt. It really is all on Jokic right now. Not a bad idea to get him some rest while they can get it. You know, this would be a spot in Denver, Toronto on the road, not a great team. It obviously would be a good spot to rest Jokic. But without knowing if he is being rested or not, and I don't think Jokic has been rested yet this season, doesn't mean they're not going to start doing it now. I would definitely side with the Denver Nuggets here. I mean, this is just a tough place for the Raptors to come and get a win.
All right, so Toronto on the road at Denver. Davis says take the Nuggets minus the two buckets, minus four. Okay, that'll do it for our first hour. More NFL draft preview coming up next. If you're leaving us, hopefully you'll join us back for Scott Farrell's show, 4 o'clock Eastern, or even tonight for our draft show at 7 o'clock. And if you're sticking with us, more NFL draft props over on FanDuel. We're going to break those down for you. We got fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60. So we're just getting started here today, as our lunch hour comes to an end, but our fun hour starts next. Craig, Mish, Davis, Maddox, follow us on Twitter, at SportsGrid, and we'll be right back in just 2 minutes with our second hour of the show right here on SportsGrid.com. One more reminder, 7 o'clock Eastern, catch me, catch Davis, all of our crew for the draft preview. We'll be right back.